Oh, we're tropical, all right. I don't know if we're topical. How are you, Roo?
Oh, very, very good. And love being up here in the top end. It's absolutely magnificent. 32 degrees, 33 degrees during the day, 21 at night, and just perfect conditions for radio.
That's right, like mozzies. I'm in my shorts and my thongs, and everyone apparently back in Adelaide's a bit wet and windy.
Your wax chest is looking fantastic. That's all come up trumps. You got a tan, and it's absolutely beautiful up here.
Yeah, fantastic. Gee, we had a good night at the footy too. That was brilliant. What a crowd. It was a full house the other night.
Yeah, first time I've ever had a full house in Darwin for a game of footy, and the Crows turned it on, smashing the Demons. I thought it was a 50-50 game at best, but they got the job done, and they sit back up on the top of the ladder and with Port nipping at their heels.
Yeah, all right, plenty to talk about this morning. Roo, speaking AFL, now this isn't footy, unfortunately, the scandal that unfolded last week at AFL House. We're going to talk about this in depth later on this morning. Now, my best mate, Andrew Bolt, has written a very, very interesting article worth debate this morning, and I reckon he's got it right.
Should they have lost their jobs?
Where are the women in all of this? And I mean that seriously. Now, Caroline Wilson, a respected football writer over the weekend, says the AFL's still an old boys' club and these fellas should be sacked. And then there are those coming out like Andrew Bolt saying, well, what's happened to the two women involved?
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. We'll discuss that just after 8 o'clock.
I'll throw another question at you, Roo. Are you allowed to fall in love at work? Are you allowed to have inter-work relations? Why is that against the law?
Well, it's been happening for a fair while, hasn't
it? Yes.
Especially, I mean, what are you saying if you end up marrying each other, maybe?
Well, you met your wife at work.
Did I?
Yeah.
Where?
Weren't you at Arndale doing a...
Oh, that's right.
You were doing an appearance at Arndale.
I was doing a shopping
trip. And she asked for your autograph, next minute you married her.
Wow. That's exactly right, Ditz. Would never have happened.
Could you just
it?
Imagine... Excuse me, I'm on official business. I'm not allowed to fraternise.
I can't talk to you, hot-looking little lady.
That's right. Roo and Ditz here for breakfast all the way from the top end. We'll speak a bit slower so it all gets through to Adelaide, Roo.
Yes,
it's a long way to travel,
well,
what we're
downhill.
Saying. It is downhill, that's right. And we got a tail breeze.
Yeah, we'll be fine, Ditz.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on Triple M. Ruined It's for Breakfast on this Monday morning here on Triple M. Roo, what is making news right around the world?
Well, they're talking about making sure our Star Group police officers are going to be trained by the military now in preparation for more terrorist attacks of the future. So they're going to step it up and try and work together to make sure we've got the best forces there to be able to fight against terrorism, which I think sounds like a good move.
I reckon. People have talked about this for a long time, saying let's use our military more. There's a couple of things with this, Roo. If you've been to countries, I can think of certainly in London at times, but most definitely those that have been to Ireland over the years, more notably Northern Ireland, and you see soldiers in full battle cry walking down the streets or standing on street corners, it's a little bit off-putting. But I guess in this day and age, with what is happening around the world, if there's a need, if there's an outbreak of some, you know, terrible situation, sending the army in is probably a very good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Obviously, we haven't got any idea on the inside, but why wouldn't we be using everything we've got to make sure we've got the very best on standby when we need? So that's definitely a good move by the sounds of it over the weekend. We spoke about the footy before. Our SA sides are in pretty good position, Ditz, without getting ahead of ourselves at the moment. Adelaide sits on top of the ladder now, a game and percentage inside the top two, with GWS having lost a game. Port Adelaide are now rock solid up in sitting in fourth with a healthy percentage. Richmond on the same wins, but Port Adelaide got a huge game against Melbourne at the MCG, but they've got this weekend, they got plenty of injuries. They might get a couple of players back. Bernie Vince will be up against the match review panel as well today. We'll find out how he goes. He'll be very, very, very lucky if he doesn't get a game with a bad record that he takes in, which is not going to help him. But there's every chance Adelaide and Port could be in the top four at the end of the
season. So you've got Geelong
season.
This week?
Yeah, it's a top-of-the-table clash Friday night at Adelaide Oval.
Did Paddy Ryder have his leg amputated in the end or not, or did he get through all right?
Danger.
What did I say?
Ryder.
Sorry, Paddy Ryder's got the ankle. Paddy Dangerfield.
He had a broken leg and an ACL and a kick five. And they're comparing it to Gary Ablett Sr., the performance at the moment. But hopefully he can't get up for the game on the Friday night. We don't have to put up with him in the midfield or up forward.
I see Kane Corns took a swipe at him over the weekend that he goes down a little bit too easily. Now, he was accused of that in his Crows playing days as well.
Yep.
What do you think, Roo?
Well, he might go down, but he gets back up. That's the key part. And, you know, Kane can have his say about whether he does go down. And, you know, he probably does go down a little bit more than what some people would like, but he gets up and performs, doesn't he?
Yep.
I remember when it happened on the weekend, I was sitting by the pool in Darwin with a couple of farmer mates I'd met from South Australia, and they said, Dangerfield's gone down. They reckon he's broken his leg or he's done his knee. I said, mark him down for 3 goals in the last quarter. He always comes back and rips the game to shreds.
Yep.
And he didn't do it in the last quarter. I got it wrong. He did it in the third quarter.
Yeah.
So, but the Adelaide sides are looking very, very good at the moment. Obviously, Port Adelaide smashing North Melbourne on the weekend.
Yeah. Just another bit of sport too. Roger Federer has won Wimbledon again.
He's a freak, isn't he? What's that?
Yeah, he's done a match. Federer. 3 sets to love. 6-3.
Champion here.
6-1.
The first man to win 8 championships. Yet another extraordinary performance. This one was a bit of a procession. But he didn't drop a set throughout Wimbledon.
So straight sets all the way through. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, that's amazing to be able to do that. That is a dominant performance. And you said a little while ago, Ditz, he's been picking and choosing his tournaments a bit for a while now. I don't think he played in the clay court season at all.
No.
So might be a new thing.
Mm.
Less is more.
Mm. Very clever.
What is he, 37? 37. Mm. Gee whiz. And Venus, she was in the final, and she was Venus Williams. She was 37 as well, I think.
Yeah. How's this for a turnaround? Muguruza, who she played, lost to her 6-1, 6-love in the lead-up tournament. And then turned it around and beat her in the final.
We better go to the stewards' inquiry.
Right, yes, take a swab. What's happened there?
Good work.
Hey, before we move on, can I just quickly point out, with the lucky Kate, who's up here with us on holidays at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Your wife.
Went out to the Military Museum here in Darwin yesterday. Superb, absolutely spectacular. In 1942, Darwin was bombed, right, without getting into a history lesson. But I had heard, obviously, that Darwin had been bombed. I didn't realise how significant it was by the Japanese. More bombs were dropped on Darwin than on Pearl Harbour. I couldn't believe it. You know, and you sit and watch this movie.
What are they picking on Darwin for?
I know. Poor little Darwin.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, but look, if ever you're up this way, it's very worthwhile. It was brilliant.
Yep.
Absolutely brilliant. Great part of our history, an interesting part of our history, Roo.
Yep.
Hey, later on this morning, as I said to you, Roo, we want to get to the bottom of this AFL scandal that unfolded last week. A lot of people are asking the question, why have these executives stood down or been sacked?
Yep.
We'll take calls on that later on this morning. Roo, and it's here for breakfast on Triple M.
Brian Taylor's vault has been a big part of Triple M footy on Saturday afternoons with the Rub with James Brayshaw and Wayne Carey. They get stuck into Brian Taylor for some of his work he did 20 years ago, and here's what they got up to on the weekend.
1, 2, 3, 4. Just now on 3Z, the Good Sports, we're going to go to one of Hawthorn's best players down there and has been a full forward for the last few years and done very, very well indeed. He's kicked a lot of goals and has been the spearhead down there at Hawthorn. I speak of none other than Hawthorn full forward Jason Dunstall. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. A little bit early for you, perhaps?
Just a touch, mate.
Just a touch. You're still in bed or you're up?
No, I'm up.
Okay, well, what about Hawthorn? I mean, the last couple of years, I suppose, especially last year, they were they did very, very well indeed, but just weren't the Hawthorn of old. I sense that perhaps this year, Hawthorn are going to come back with some real fight.
Well, we're certainly hoping to.
Mm. Well, what about new coach Alan Joyce taking over the reins from Yabby Jeans, of course, and he has coached the side once before to a premiership. Have his methods changed any from Alan Jeans, or are they basically the same style of coach?
I think Alan's style is a little bit different.
Well, what about Andrew Jarman? There's been a lot of talk in recent days about contractual wrangles and all that, which has now been resolved, apparently. What sort of a player is he, and where will he fit into the Hawthorn side?
I think from the practice games already seen, everyone's picked up pretty quickly that he's a very skillful player. And slot him in the centre, I think that would be a bonus for us.
Well, also on the line, I think, Jason, we've got... are you still there, Jace? We've lost Jason. We've just lost Jason, I think, there, Wayne Brown. So if you can fix that up for us, I'd be very, very happy indeed about that. It's currently 14 minutes to 7 on 3UZ The Good Sports.
The Good Sports on the Greater 3UZ.
We've now picked up Jason Dunstall again, and g'day to you, Jason. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Just went missing for a little while, mate.
Yeah. Jason, Scotty Palmer was just on the line, and he mentioned about the helmet and your own injury. How has that progressed over the last few weeks, and is it safe now to play football without the helmet?
Yeah, I don't have any problems with that now.
Okay, well, we've been speaking to Hawthorn full forward Jason Dunstall, and we had a little bit of a misfortune in losing Jason there for a couple of minutes, but we've had Jason and both Scotty Palmer on this morning. Really appreciate your time, Jason, and thanks for getting out of bed for us, mate.
No problem.
Good on you. And I'd like to apologise to the constables or the people in blue who pulled me up on the way to work this morning. If they are happen to be listening, I'd like to apologise for perhaps nearly breaking one of the road rules. Not quite, but nearly breaking. And I thank you for your prompt attention.
Brian!
Don't you rabble on with
that. Obviously, speeding on the way to work without question. Probably doing 20 k's over the limit.
What about Jace, who's, you know, kicks 100? Yep. He kicked 100 sort of once. And
Jace
has kicked...
Plenty of people have done it. No, nuts.
But Jace has done it plenty of times. He's got, I've sort of got one of the sort of good players down there. Yeah.
Spearhead.
Duck, at that stage, no bigger name in football. No. Whether this is an interview he remembers doing.
And I reckon he was in bed too, Jim.
Fair chance he won't remember that.
Any recollection of talking to Brian on 3UZ, The Good Sports. In fact, we can ask him, because I think we might have him on the line. Chief.
Gents, how are we doing?
Now, do you remember at 5:45 being woken up by Brian in 1991?
I can't say I have a great recollection of it, other than the fact is the only reason I answer the phone is because I thought it was an emergency, because no one would normally ring me at that time of the morning.
What about the line of questioning, Chief?
I should have known what was to come after the rousing introduction he gave. Yeah. Full forward and kicked a few goals. But the line actually didn't drop out. I fell asleep because the pedestrian questions were coming over. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did he not ask about Andrew Jarman? I couldn't even be bothered telling him it was Darren. That.
Darren.
There you go. That was the weekend's instalment of BT's Vault. They're doing it every Saturday on the Rub here on Triple M. Still to come, in a moment, I'm going to tell you about the best drinks to have for your waistline.
Oh, right.
Something I've learned while I've been away over the last... this is a serious survey.
You've been conducting the survey?
No. Scientists far more informed than me.
Right.
I'm going to tell you in a moment what you can drink and what you can't drink, all right?
Look forward to that.
These are alcoholic drinks, by the way, for your waistline. It's ruined. It's on Triple M. There's a lot to talk about in the world of AFL, Roo. You mentioned earlier that our two teams are travelling very, very nicely, sitting first, the Crows, and fourth, Port Adelaide. But what about some of the individual incidents? Now, Rory Sloan, he was in no man's land. It was a real nasty concussion. Well, I thought it was anyway, from where I sat.
Yeah, he smashed his head on the ground, and the ground was absolutely beautiful. I said in the call, it was the best deck I've seen ever in my time in football. It was beautiful up there, but he smashed his head on the deck. He got concussed. He fought off the trainers. Looked like he was going to knock one of them out there for a minute. I think he just didn't know what was going on, but he wanted to keep playing, and then common sense prevailed when Eddie Betts and Tex Walker come over him and said to him, get off the ground, Sloan.
Texted very, very well.
Yeah, go and recover your thoughts for a while. And in fact, he didn't come on after that. I think he'll play Friday night. I think you pull up pretty well after those sort of knocks, and I think he'd be right to go against the Cats in the top of the table.
All
crash.
Right. Jake Lever, ice on his hamstring. How do you see that one?
Apparently a bit of tightness there. It's not a bad hamstring by any stretch, but he has had a couple of occurrences of that happening because he had a reconstruction on that leg. So I would say he'd be in doubt for Friday night. I don't think there'd be any risks taken there unless he comes up absolutely perfect.
All right. Port Adelaide's Paddy Ryder. I didn't like the look of his ankle. However, Ken Hinckley said after the game, he said, look, if I needed him to go back out there, he could have, but it was just a precautionary thing.
And he did go back out there for a while, but they rested him, didn't they? Yeah. So ankles, generally speaking, if you do your outside ligaments, you can get up no dramas if you put all the work into it. If you've done your inside, your medial ligaments, they're much harder to get up. Generally, you miss weeks from them.
Dr. Mark Ricciuto there. Let's talk Bernie Vince. Will he go?
I think he will, Burn. Not that I want him to, but you just can't get away with hitting people in the head these days. They protect the head in the AFL footy. The elbow to the head of Eddie Betts wasn't super hard, but it was a sort of an elbow slash forearm to the head. And the knock on Richie Douglas was around the head region as well.
I don't like that rule. I know what you're saying, they protect the head, but so many of those, and then this one included, are total accidents.
Which ones?
The Bernie Vince getting into the head of Richie Douglas. That's an accident.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident.
Because they're both going for the footy.
Yeah, but you've got to stop. If a bloke's got their head there, ditch you. You have
you're
to
there
stop.
First, I'll let you get the ball.
Yes, that's what you have to do. Same with tackling around the head.
I'll back off and you just take the footy and go and kick a goal, but because I might have, you
what
know.
What if you're, is it all right to break their neck
no,
or,
of course
or
not.
Do that?
Of course not. I said it's an accident. It's not deliberate. It's not intentional.
So what did he move his bum around for to hit him in the head?
Protect
then?
Himself as well.
Right. All right. No, it wasn't. You put your body around...
If Bernie had arrived a split second earlier, Richard Douglas would have been reported. That's what's the problem with these rule, with this rule.
Yeah, well, he's under report and he's probably going to get suspended. I think the talk is he'll get 2 or 3 weeks for both offences.
Has Dusty Martin blown the Brownlow?
I've only had a quick glimpse of this one. He was getting tagged and sort of got a bit frustrated and threw his fist up around the head region of Robinson, I think it was. I'll just wait and see on it, Dits. I think it'll be close.
Now, I was reminded over the weekend of some of that footage I saw from the Kokoda Trail back in the Second World War when the digger is coming through the mud and the slush, carrying one of his teammates, and he's got his eye bandaged. He's got one arm in a sling, and he's got a bullet wound in his chest. That's what I thought when I saw Paddy Dangerfield over the weekend. Just war-torn, heroic, and lucky to be alive.
Well... broken leg, ACL, and he came back out and kicked 5 goals, 6.
He's tough, he is. He's
Gary Ablett Senior, like they're calling it. Will he come up for Friday night's game is what Crows fans are interested in, and apparently he can definitely get sorer the day after the game with it, so we'll wait and see, but he doesn't miss footy too often, Danger. He doesn't miss games of footy very often at all, and I'm pretty sure Friday night football, top of the table clash, He'll be pretty keen to be out there.
All right, in other sport, Roger Federer, this is freakish. His 8th Wimbledon title, he won it in straight sets. In fact, he won straight sets in every round. He did not drop a set, just an amazing win. Beat Marin Cilic. And Daniel Ricciardo has finished 5th at the British Grand Prix, won by Lewis Hamilton. That is our look at sport in a moment, Roo. This is very important for you and for I, but your waistline, the best alcoholic drinks... for your waistline.
Perfect.
All right?
To get bigger or?
No. To be svelte. You and I, good words, svelte. We'll get to that next. 6:43. Oh, that always gets Roo up and about. Comes out swinging. Bit of Rocky.
Massive in Darwin.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, obviously we're on holidays and so we're able to indulge a little bit more.
I thought you were going to Bali for holidays.
Yeah, I did.
But you're telling me you did a fair bit of work over there.
Yeah.
R&D.
Oh, yeah.
Research and development.
I did.
What did you discover?
As I was drinking a pina colada, I found out that it wasn't that good for me.
I heard you got banned from your pool bar too, by the way, and the buffet. Is that right?
Yeah. We ended up in this place where it was all you can eat and drink, which is a bit unfortunate.
Fancy that.
Total accident. I didn't. It was. Anyway, I've read an article this morning that's handy for all of us. Because how I drink Sauv Blanc? I always rave on about it. I love a good Sauv Blanc.
Love your white
lightning. The reason I went onto it was years ago, a doctor told me, he said, if you're worried about a beer gut, he said, drink wine. Get off beer, drink wine. It's far better for you. But I've since found that that's not quite true.
Right.
So I've been drinking Sauv Blanc all these years thinking I was doing the right thing.
He said that. He was telling about if you're going to have one glass a day.
Yeah. I think it means that, yeah, with wine, I think they figure that you drink a lot less, but... Yeah.
You've got to get rid of that glass that you've got.
Now, I've got a list of 13 drinks here. This is from the worst to the best. Now, the worst drink you can have, pale ale.
Right.
Which...
Coopers? Or pale ale in general?
Just says pale ale in general. Most Coopers. If you're going to have a pale ale, have a Coopers, of course.
Yes. But they're the heaviest.
Highest calories, pale ale. Now, number 12, your good old beer, just your normal lager.
Standard lager?
Standard.
Is there much difference? Well, I haven't got those numbers.
175 calories for a standard pale ale.
Right.
170
for
your normal schooner that you just want to have.
Times that by a few.
Number 11, the worst, red wine.
Red wine?
A Cab Sav.
Wait, what?
160 calories for 5 ounces.
Right.
Bearing in mind a beer, they're talking 12-ounce beers here.
Yeah.
And this is for a 5-ounce glass
of
red wine.
So there's actually more calories in wine, but you just don't drink as much.
Number 10, white wine. Same.
Same calories?
Yeah, they're saying a Riesling here. 160 calories for 5 ounces.
Oh, that's no good.
Number 9 on the list. Now, I don't drink this, but cider.
Oh, that's all right. What are they at?
150.
Well, that's a good dry. I thought cider was worse than beer. I love ciders in summertime.
Right, so this is for, a 12-ounce glass.
Yep.
Number 8, tequila.
Tequila.
104 calories.
Is that in a shot?
Hang on, 1.5 ounces.
Gee. Yeah, well, that's only a little shot glass.
Little shot. Number 7, whiskey.
Straight?
104 calories for a straight whiskey, 1.5 ounces. They're naming the Jack Daniels here.
Righto.
Number 6, vodka.
Vodka?
Yeah, vodka, absolute.
Right. And that's straight.
This is 101 calories for a straight vodka.
Yeah.
Hey, this is good. I might start drinking this now because we're down to the top 5. We're getting to the good end now.
Righto.
Rosé. Yeah, do you drink a lot of rosé?
I've been prone to have a rosé in summer.
All right, 100 calories.
A bit lighter.
So 100 calories rosé, and what did I say wine was? 160.
160.
Gee, all right.
Gee, that's nearly
big difference.
It.
So the more you drink, the better it is.
Yeah.
Champagne at number 4.
Oh, yeah, but you only can have a few of those, which is handy.
Number 3, Vera Lynn.
What the hell is that?
Gin.
Gin?
Yeah.
Right.
So gin is at 97 calories.
Wow.
Number 2... Well, this will please a lot of people. Light beer.
Light beer?
Light beer comes in at 96 calories for 12 ounces.
Okay.
And number 1...
But you
one,
have to drink twice as many.
You do. That's right. And then you wee a lot, don't you? Light beer makes you wee.
Non-stop.
And number 1, this is the best drink of all to have if you're worried about your waistline, rum.
Rum?
96 calories in 1.5
ounces.
That's
if you drink it straight. If you wash it down with a fair bit of Coke, that'd blow it out of the water pretty quickly.
So there you go. That's an interesting
list, isn't it?
I can't drink spirits, though. I just don't like them, so I won't be drinking rum. But light beer, that's good.
Light beer. A bit of rosé.
And the other thing on light beer, you're not getting as drunk as well.
No, that's right.
So responsible drinking.
Perfect.
There you go. Hey, in a moment, Roo, our Monday phoner. I'm wondering if Tex will ring up in a moment.
Beautiful.
Tommy Tai Chi. We'll see who calls in just a moment in our Monday phone in Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Time for our Monday phone in on 133353. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
Yes, hello, it's Steve Marshall from A Current Affair.
Hello, Steve. Steve. How are you going? What's going on, Steve?
So you're up in Darwin.
I
we're just doing a bit of research on a story I'm working on about a flight that happened last week at some stage at 30,000 feet round to the Tennant Creek area. Mm. Reports of 6 children under 10 just running amok in the cabin at 30,000 feet.
Right.
This details are a bit sketchy at the moment, but there are also in-laws involved. We've heard of passenger abuse running up and down the aisles, and the real deal came when it was heard that one of the young children had his arm on one of the levers of the door and was yelling out, "Daddy, how do I disarm and cross-check?"
Right.
Do you have any information? You weren't on any of those flights, were you? It's a bit sketchy at the moment.
No, I slept most of the way.
Anyway, well, if you find out anything, let us know. And don't forget we're doing the big expose during the week on the fact that Coles are moving their pretzels very close to the cat food area. Aldi and Woolworths follow suit. That's this week on A Current Affair.
Thanks. All right, I like it. Good on you, Steve, from A Current Affair. Next caller. Hello, good morning.
It's me.
Hello, who's that?
You know who it is.
No, who is it?
Well, you have cancelled 2 appointments. Where have you been?
Well, we've been away on holidays at the moment.
You've been in Bali,
Ellen. Yeah, been away.
I've heard you took my advice.
And that was what?
It's a lot smoother, isn't it? lets the oil penetrate from one pectoral across to the other.
Oh, you've been waxed. Oh, you mean been waxed.
I did wax my chest last week, Helen. But that was for charity, Helen. It was for a good cause. It wasn't for anything to do with you, I can
tell us
you.
The truth, Dits.
How low did you go?
I just my chest.
If you're going to cancel this week's appointment, can you ring me in Hindley Street?
Yes, I will. Sorry, Helen. All right.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thanks for calling in, Helen, from Hindley Street. Next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
It's Texie.
Texie! Oh, Tex. Good performance up here, mate. Great performance.
Yeah, went all right. I don't mind the heat.
Yeah.
Like Broken Hill a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where the corns are going to stand, though. What about that?
What do you mean, corns?
He's having a go. You know, I'm just trying to be positive, and he's always having a go on the Twitter and things. But anyway.
He has a go at everyone, Tex.
Yeah, good. Should be a good match Friday night, too. I don't know.
Top of the table.
Yeah. Seen the letter?
Yeah, I've seen the letter, Tex, yeah.
Just point to the top of the letter. Anyone that, you know, wants to criticise, just get a finger and point to the top.
Yeah.
You know what they see?
What?
Crows.
Yeah. No, yeah. Good.
Anyway.
Right. Anything else for us, Tex?
Yeah, this lady, she's at the ATM, this old lady, and this young guy comes up. She says, "Excuse me, young fella, could you check my balance?" So he pushed her over.
Righto, thanks, Tex. Right. We've got time to squeeze in one more before the news. Hello, good morning.
Hello, this is Tommy Tatey.
Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello, Roboy. Hello, Dick.
How are you? You got any cousins up here in Darwin?
You know, I got a lot of cousins up there. You know, you have to go to the best restaurant up there. It's run by my cousin, Way Too Old. That's his name. Go ask for Way Too. Right. He runs a place called Lazy Susan's Eating House. They specialize in crocodile, camel burger. They got the Australian Outback infusion into the Pacific Basin style of the Lazy Susan. You go visit him, he look after you. Hey, Roo Boy.
Yeah.
You go fishing today, I hear, up there in Darwin.
Going out with one of the all-time greats, Michael Long.
Well, you know, whatever you can, you know what to do. You just send that. I got one of my cousins, she's driving down. You get them, put all the fish. He'll be down in Adelaide in 2 weeks. You put all the fish with them. That we have free fred. I cook it up at my restaurant, and I see you boys down there. You know that?
Right, beautiful.
Okay.
2 weeks see old. Do you think it'll be all right?
See
all right,
you,
see
boy.
You. See you, Tommy. See you, mate. Thanks for calling in. That's all the time we got for calls this morning. Roo, okay, someone's chance to win $500. Who have you got there, Roo?
I have got Jono from Flagstaff Hill. G'day, Jono.
How you going, boys?
Good, Jono. You had a good weekend?
Oh, a great weekend. Watched the game on Saturday, and the boys did well.
Good stuff. And what are you up to today?
Look, I'm just laying in bed listening to you guys.
Oh, righty, yeah, you're not even going to work. Beautiful, all right. You ready to win $500?
I certainly am, yes.
Okay, well, you need to get 10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win the $500. Anything less than that, you get $10 for every answer.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Give me 10 horse racing tracks in Australia.
Moffatville.
Yes.
Randwick.
Yes.
Oakbank.
Oakbank, yeah, good.
Good.
That's three.
God.
Rose Hill.
Rose Hill.
Yeah.
Did I say Randwick?
You said Moonee Valley, did you?
Moonee Valley, yep.
Sure. Five.
Flemington.
Broken Hill, Wellington.
Yeah. All right, we got seven, I think.
Yeah, let's go to the adjudicator.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Correct.
There you go. $70, Jono, on this Monday morning. Well done.
Yeah, you did it right,
well,
mate.
Yeah, well, I'm not a horse racing fan, so...
Sorry.
You won 70 bucks in your sleep.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thanks very much.
Good on you, Jono. Go back to sleep, mate. Roll over. Hey, Roo, in a moment, we'll get you to tell us all about the weekend of footy. A couple of great wins for our teams and a lot of other news about it. I want to ask you about James Hurd in just a moment. How do you feel about him presenting the Norm Smith at the AFL Grand Final. We'll get to that next. Ruin Dits on Triple M. 7.13, Ruin Dits coming to you from Darwin all week after the big weekend of footy. Great win by the Crows, Roo, the other night. Big, big first quarter, and it was just about all over at quarter time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. Kicked seven goals and smashed them in the start of the game. It was surprising. I thought it was going to be a 50-50 game, Dits, but Melbourne did have a few players out. And when I looked a bit deeper into it, half their midfield was out of their side. And I reckon that had a bit of an impact at the end of the day. Adelaide just sort of got on top in that area and did well. And a really important win to put them back on top of the ladder after Geelong went on top earlier on in the day with their win over Hawthorn.
All right, there was a bit of a nasty moment, though. Rory Sloan went down.
So Rory Sloan is down behind the play. They've called for the stretcher. This is terrible news for Adelaide here. This was in the tackle where he got caught holding the ball.
Well, it was a crunching tackle, wasn't it? It was one of those blindsided. He didn't see it. And, Roo, I think you can speak from experience. If you're not ready for one of those, you can get caught and get really hurt, can't you?
And what happened there is his head just went down and smashed the ground, and that's what gave him a bit of concussion or knocked him out. He got up, tried to play on. They end up, Tex Walker and Eddie Betts come over and said, go off the ground, have a rest, and he didn't come back on. My word from the Adelaide Footy Club is that he's okay. He was fine the next morning, a little bit dusty, but he was okay, and I think he'll play this Friday night.
Jake Lever?
Jake Lever's got a tight hamstring. Didn't jag it or whatever, but he's had a little bit of trouble with that hammy before. Same leg as what he's had his reconstruction on, and you can get a bit of tightness in the hamstring after you have a recon on your knee. And I think it'd be 50-50 at best, I would think. I don't think they'd take any risks. They haven't with any other players all year, and Andy Otten's playing well, so he can go back and play that role. So I think he'd be in doubt for Friday night.
All right, now, your boys take on Geelong Friday night. It's a huge, huge game. Now, over the weekend, Patrick Dangerfield went down as well. Let's have a listen to the incident.
In the middle, Paddy Dangerfield. Has he broken his leg here with that?
Got unloaded.
He got crashed into as he went to kick the footy, and he can't get up at all.
Wow. Not good.
And he's keeping the left leg off the deck.
Terrible news.
He's in a lot of pain.
That could be a broken leg, I reckon. Have a look at it. No. Comes in from the side. Collision from Roughhead.
Now, Roo, I don't want to get too critical because I haven't been out in the middle of an AFL ground and played at the level you played at, so I've got to be careful what I say. But he came off. He couldn't even walk on his leg. He had to be helped off the ground.
Put his arm up three times when he was on the ground, which generally means you're very badly injured.
Now, Kane Corns tweeted over the weekend, and he's copped some criticism for his tweet. However,
some people have agreed with him.
But what he said was right, is that he pointed out the fact that when Paddy Dangerfield was at the Crows, he was spoken to by some teammates who were basically saying, Paddy, could you not go down so easily? Every time you get bumped or hit, how about you not show the opposition that you're so hurt? Now, is that a fair criticism?
Well, like you say, you don't know how hurt someone is, but I guess the way you can have a look at it is how quickly they get back up and how they can play the game out. Now, some people are tough enough or can tolerate pain more than others and can get through and come out and perform. Now, is that because it wasn't that bad to start with, or is it because they've got a high pain threshold? Only Danger knows that, but the reality is he come back on the ground, he kicked 5 goals, 6, and they're comparing his performance to Gary Ablett Sr., and he'll probably get 3 Brownlow votes. So judge for yourself, but he certainly had a huge impact in that game and probably got him across the line.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Now, Port Adelaide take on Melbourne this coming weekend at the MCG. Now, they're a little bit wounded and they might be without Bernie Vince.
Hard one to win. Vince, hard at the football all night.
Stop, he's reported. He's reported.
We've seen a couple of moments from Bernie Vince.
A tricky one, that one, because when a player does go in for the ball and he gets there just before you, if you don't concede that they've got front position and you continue to go in and they've got their head over it, you're going to get in trouble. And that's what happened with Bernie. He didn't line him up from 15 metres away. Douglas got there a metre or two before him. He needed to pull up. He didn't. He got him high and he got reported for it. He also got reported for an elbow to Eddie Betts' head. I asked the questions yesterday what they think will happen at the match review panel, because it's quite hard to understand the way they do it. My source was he might get one for
each incident, and he'll get one on top because he's got a bad record. That would miss. That would add up to three, obviously. Of course, Melbourne will be hoping for a lot less than that, but it might be in that vicinity, which with all those injuries, and they've also already got Thomas Bugg suspended. He got 6 weeks for that punch in the head. They don't need Bernie out, but fair to say there's a big chance he will be.
Rue, we have to move on, but just quickly, I'd like your opinion on the James Heard decision that was announced last week, that he will present the Norm Smith medal.
Yeah, now, doesn't sound right at all, does it, from the outside, if you're just thinking, well, they've plucked a former winner out to do it this year. It seems a bit early, seems too early. But then you get told that, you know, 17 years after you win the Norm Smith, that's the way they pick out who it is, and he won it in 2000. I mean, that doesn't mean he has to do it. You could easily bring someone forward and put him back a year or two. I don't know. It depends where you sit. Some people like Graham Corns or Sam Newman say, well, he never did anything wrong in the first place, so why shouldn't he be doing it?
They're in the minority.
Yeah, they are in the minority. So, and there's some people saying, well, you might as well get Lance Armstrong to present the Tour de France.
Or Jack the Ripper, yeah.
What do you think, Diz?
Nah, he should not be allowed to present the Norm Smith. No way in the world.
For all the reasons we're just talking about?
Yeah,
or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we know what happened. He was in charge at Essendon. There's no way in the world he should be allowed to present the Norm Smith. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm all for trying to make mend the past or whatever, but whether it's now or in a few years, you know, probably could have been a couple more years, I think.
All right, that's how we saw the weekend of footy. Rue and Ditz here on Triple M. 7:28, Rue and Ditz for breakfast. Rue, you were just telling me you've got your six kids up here and your in-laws, and you're saying you're a bit worried about Rocco. Now, how old's Rocco?
He's three and a half, yeah.
You say he hasn't been eating for the last 3 days. You didn't mind trying to bite my finger off last night. What do you mean he's not eating?
Well, he thinks he's a crocodile.
Bloody hell.
That's what happens.
I've lost feeling in my hand.
Well, kids love crocodiles. They love sharks. They love everything.
So what have you been up to with them? What have you been doing?
We've done plenty of things, but one of the best things we did, and took a drive out to the Litchfield National Park, which is highly recommended whenever you come to Darwin.
Well, I'm going out there today with the lovely Kate. I can't wait.
It's well worth the trip. We thought it was only about an hour away, and we had a... we've become friendly with a couple of families up here. Farmers from Cleve and farmers from Malala, and they had one of their cousins up here, so he was a tour leader, and we just got in our Toyota commuter high-ace van.
Rue said to me, I've hired a family wagon up here because you've got the whole crew. It's like the Partridge family bus.
14-seater.
It's a tour bus. You'd see a rock band driving around.
I'm using it to get around during the day, and at night I'm whacking a taxi symbol on the roof just to pay for the trip.
Yeah.
And anyway, we went out to Litchfield National Park. It was a two-hour drive to get out there and get to where we went. An hour into it, the kids are losing it. Absolutely sick to death of being in the car. They just wanted to go home. They'd seen enough termite mounds, which is what you see on the side of the roads, these 6 foot high. I don't give a stuff about the termite mounds. I said, I'll give you $2 for the next person who sees an animal. I don't give a shit about the animals. They're absolutely losing it. And so the last half an hour to an hour of the trip was very tough. Anyway, we get out there, and the waterfalls out there and the ponds out there are absolutely amazing. For anyone who's ever been there, you'll know it, but it is well worth the trip. So we get there to we went to the furthest one, the Wangi Falls, which was a big waterfall and a big pond, which was probably about, I don't know, 80 metres in diameter all the way around. And we thought we'd go for a swim. There's probably, I don't know, 100 people, in certain areas of it. Some areas
is it deep?
Some areas you can touch, some areas you can't. So you have to swim, and it's quite dark, the water. Mm. So a little bit scary, a little bit intimidating, because obviously you get told you don't swim anywhere in Darwin except where you're allowed to. And there's signs there to say that you can swim, but they don't guarantee there's not crocodiles there. But
sorry?
They don't guarantee it, but
how good's that then?
Well, they guarantee it as much as they can, but they can cover territory on night and during the night and in floods and things like that. But anyway, we thought there's 100-odd people there, so all our family went out for a swim. We went over to the waterfall and got right under it. That was beautiful. We went up into this other part where there was, a warm sort of a spring, and we were over there. And we're over the other side where it really did look like crocodile country. You can just
you're out there swimming, you can just you're trying to get the picture out of here, the crocodile.
I'm trying to do that right now. Yeah,
around you. Anyway, we had a fantastic time diving off rocks and carrying on, and we're out there for a few hours, and then and I get back over to the other side, and there was a bloke playing with his kid just near another area where you go, and I said, "What are you doing, mate? Why aren't you going in?" He goes, "You know they pulled a croc out of here in March, don't you?"
What?
I said, "Come again?"
What?
He said, "I got a 3-metre crocodile out of
ball
here
dust
in March."
3 metre.
I said, "Ball dust." He said, "No." Nah. And I Googled it. This is true. They got a 3-metre crocodile out of the water hole that we're all swimming around. A 3-metre crocodile would absolutely destroy it if you're in the water with it. But apparently after the wet season where everything floods, crocodiles get around and they get in everywhere, and then the park rangers go around with and they check all the water holes with torches at night.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And if they can see eyes, if they can't see eyes, it's clear. And they apparently they all use use scanners in there as well to find out.
Oh, well, the crocs go, "Hey, I'm over here, ranger."
They don't hide or anything.
No, God no.
But so I was absolutely. I was quite upset, not upset, but I couldn't believe it.
This is where I'm going today.
You'll be right, Ditz. We were there the other day. They didn't
How can
all
they
of
put
us.
Up signs to say you can swim there, and yet they pull out a 3-metre croc?
Who's in charge of the signage? Well, I think it was after the wet season.
I don't give a toss what season it is.
Well, there's other water holes which are much shallower and much safer for kids and everything, Ditz, so maybe you go for a look in there. But Litchfield National Park, if you're ever in Darwin, ladies and gentlemen, well worth the trip.
Mm.
As long as there's no crocodiles in there.
No, nice, Roo. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M on this Monday morning. 7:43 on this Monday morning. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
Ditz is a growing concern amongst a lot of people out there that we're starting to protect our children too much from the real world. We've heard of different things over the last few years where we're, you know, bringing in new rules to protect kids. And a couple of examples are in sport where now they don't even keep score in, say, the younger games like the under eights and under nines.
So there's no winner, no loser.
There's no winner, there's no loser. Everyone plays well. We've heard of even in those games, you're not allowed to sing your song at the end of the game because you offend the or intimidate the opposition kids.
Yep.
Last week it went to another level in Victoria where up to under 16 competitions having a mercy rule if they start winning by up to 80 points that they can't lose by any more.
Right.
Because they don't want them to feel like they're losing too badly. But you know, in playgrounds, Ditch, you're not allowed to climb too high because you might hurt yourself. Yeah. We hear things like that. We also, there's plenty of other activities where we've heard about, you know, getting too much homework or other things where, you know, in getting expelled at school or different scenarios where now parents are cotton wool their kids too much, overseeing them. I think they call them helicopter parents now, where they sit above them and don't ever let them get in trouble or don't ever let them fail or don't ever let them get too bored. They sort of look after them too much compared to what we had to in the good old days.
Well, I guess one that, just getting away from the sport example for the moment, something you just said about getting expelled or getting too much homework, the number of times, if you're at a barbecue now talking to parents, the number of times I hear a parent say, "Well, I rang the school and I complained and I rang the school and I told them this and that."
Yep.
Whereas in my day, buddy, my old man said, "If you got the strap, you bloody deserved it, obviously." Or, do you know what I mean? I get the feeling now parents are far too quick to, "Well, I'll go to the school and stick up for my kid," rather than say to the kid, "Well, you deal with it. You handle it. You got yourself into this problem. You sort it out."
What do you think? I mean, when you get to adulthood, you have times where you have really negative experiences and you have negative days and you have negative weeks and you have bad moments. You lose your job. You can get injured. You can get sick. You can get sacked. It's actually a part of reality where you do have lots of lows in your life. Mm. If we protect our kids and they don't experience it, whether they're 8 or 10 or 14 or 17 years of age, how in the hell are they going to be ready for what happens in the real world? I just think if we protect our kids too much, if they never get injured, if they never get hurt, or if they're never bored, or if they're never scared, or if they never fail, or if they never get the strap, how are they going to be prepared
for the real world when they leave home.
But, Roo, don't you think it even happens at a senior level now? I mean, you're on the board of an AFL football club. Aren't parents in the AFL just as big a pain or as difficult to deal with as parents that we're talking about at little under 8 footy?
You do have to manage them, but at that point I think it's a slightly different story. I mean, you need to... all my kids are way younger. They haven't left home yet. But I would have thought it's your job as a parent to bring your kids up that when they leave home, they've got the best possible chance of actually surviving in the real world. When they leave the nest, that they have had all the experience they can, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, so that they can face reality for life, whatever it holds for them.
The only final question I'd have to you, because you've got six children all under 10, it is hard when you look at your children and they lose at something. I know that sounds pathetic, but it actually is. It's hard to explain sometimes to little kids that I'm sorry, but you didn't win. You're coming second, or you've come last, or whatever. It can be difficult. It's not easy.
Oh, I know. I mean, we're in the little, you know, in our little circumstances, that happens. They lose. Don't worry about that. And they hate losing. But you can't say teach them not to be a good sport, can you? No. I mean, I'm going through all that sort of stuff at the moment. Losing's a part of life, and they got to learn to deal with it. I just think, you know, some of these rules that we're bringing in, whether it's in sport or in life or in schools especially, I've never agreed with the how we're not as disciplined as what we used to be in schools, how they get away with what they do in schools at the moment. That is absolutely setting them up to be soft when they're older. And those kids will not be able to handle what happens.
So in the workplace, the first time your boss gives you a bit of a spray or says pull your socks up, you won't like it.
No, you'll blame the boss for being not good enough. You'll blame everyone else all the time for not being able to handle the real world.
All right, 133353, how do you see this one? Are we, I think we hear it a lot now. We are definitely pampering our kids, but I don't know, maybe it's because of decades or centuries of being far too hard, Roo. Maybe we had to change a little bit.
Yeah, we've gone too far though, haven't we, don't you think?
Yep, you're probably right.
I reckon we need to get back to middle ground.
133353, what do you think? Give us a call. Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Roo and Ditts for breakfast on this Monday morning, all the way from Darwin in the Top End.
Yeah, we're talking about whether we pamper our kids too much. Are we setting them up for failure when they become adults? Let's get out to Greenworth. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, guys. How you going? Yeah.
What do you think of this? Are we too protective of them, or are we have we got the better balance, say, to 20, 30, 40 years ago?
Nah, I think we're way too protective. I've got older girls that have gone through this whole thing. One's 22, the other one's coming up to 21, and 20 years old. And I'm guilty of it myself, overprotecting the kids as they grew up, and I realised I needed to make them more resilient. When I was a kid, I was in a team, I was losing all the time. No drama, it just made me more and more determined to win. And when I win, I want to absolutely slaughter the opposition team to sort of make up for it. So that's fine. But I reckon we need to take it a little bit further than that. I think it's not just about the sport and being protective. It's the kids are growing up and they're too worried about what other people think. On social media, they'll do a post or they'll just say something to someone and they're overthinking, overanalyzing what other people think. And back in my day, I mean, if I say something or do something, I've thought about how I'm going to act and everything properly, and then if someone else doesn't like it or they react differently, I just couldn't give a shit. You know, like, for me, the kids need to learn to be more confident in themselves and respectful of others and then not give a shit about what other.
All right, Jeff, just get the language right a little bit there, buddy, and be better for everyone. But we're going to take more calls.
We'll take some more in just a moment. But, Roo, just this social media thing that we talk about day in, day out, I just wonder if we'll get to the point where in a couple of years' time we'll all be over it. It'll just be a fad that's gone. I mean, it's a big, big fad, I know. But hopefully, my question is, will it be a passing phase that we all just get sick of and get bored with?
Yeah, I'm sort of hoping you're right with that one, Ditts, because I reckon it's doing a lot of damage. There's obviously a lot of good with it as well, but there's a lot of damage. Let's take some more calls. 133353. We've got tickets to the Crows v Geelong game at Adelaide Oval on Friday night, which is going to be an absolute blockbuster. Top v second.
Roo and Ditts on Triple M 756. Oh, we're pampering our kids too much. Some of the rule changes we're hearing about in kids' sport are ridiculous, and the way that parents ring schools and complain when their kid gets into trouble.
Yeah, let's go to Parra Hills. What do you think, Neville?
G'day, boys. How you going?
Very good, Nev.
Roo, I think I don't think we're setting the kids up as failures. I think I agree with you 100%.
both of my children are 22 and 21, and I brought my kids up the tough way, and they've had some tough experiences in their young life already, and both of them deal with it really, really well. And then if they get into strife, they come to their parents and get help. And I think that other parents, and both my children at work, their bosses see those kids as young, experienced, and mature kids. That they don't just fall over when it gets tough.
Yep.
So I think the society's too weak at the moment.
All right.
Well, that's what we're hearing, for sure.
Thanks. Let's go to Adela. How are you, Adela?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What do you think about this? Are we too soft on our kids, or are we doing a good job?
I think we are a little bit soft, and I'm thinking it comes down to a bit of stress, that parents have to deal with a lot of stress in their lives. I'm a teacher, and I listen to a lot of parents.
Primary school or high school?
High school.
Right.
Yeah.
But Adela, what about the fact, though, that, I mean, I've got experience with some teachers as well. I've got one in my family. Aren't parents too quick to complain to you, though, as a teacher, rather than support you if you discipline kids?
Yeah, they're very quick to do that. And I'm you wonder where it comes from. You think, you know, is it because they're just sick and tired of dealing with, you know, so many things in their life? And then they just, we're the face with somebody to take it out on.
Mm. All right. Thanks, Adela.
I wonder with so many split families as well, Dits, whether whenever they're with their parents, you know, they're with mum one weekend, dad the other, and they always want to do the right thing by the kids too, because yeah. I know that happens for a fair bit. Let's go to Andrew from Evanston Gardens. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, how you going, boys?
Good, Andrew.
Yeah, I've got young boys that play footy. Eldest is just start playing another 10. Now, they keep score. They don't put it on the scoreboard. But the boys know at the end of the game whether they've won or lost.
Mm-hmm.
The coach brings them in at the end of the game whether they've won, lost or draw, and they get around each other and sing the club song. Just a bit of camaraderie, and I think it builds a bit of, you know, mateship between the boys. But I think definitely at 16 years old, you know, they need to experience the lows to appreciate the highs and things like that.
Would have thought so, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, definitely at that age, it's becoming a bit soft. But I don't think at a young age, as 8 and 10, I don't think it's a bad thing to let these kids sort of experience a bit of fun rather than just putting the pressure on them at that age.
Yep, no worries. All right, Craig. Let's go to Craig from Chandler's Hill. G'day, Craig.
No, Craig's not there.
Craig's not there.
All right. Roo, I think everyone seems to be on the same page, don't they? Everyone seems to think that we are pampering our kids in this day and age. Roo, every weekend there'll be, whether it's a boy or girls football team, a netball team, whatever it is, someone's going to sit on the bench. Someone's going to be the reserve. Someone's going to miss out.
Someone's going to miss out.
And people do not like it. They do not accept it in this day and age.
Well, they have to.
I know, but they don't.
Well, parents...
I see people complain every weekend in sport that I'm involved in.
Maybe that's why people are, you know, struggling a bit more in life later on. I don't know whether that's a part of it or not, but maybe they haven't had enough.
I see people walk out on clubs, and I know some cases of this happening in the last couple of weekends.
Well, because their kids aren't getting to go.
Kids sat on the bench, right, we're out of here. Oh, it's just unbelievable. This didn't happen years ago.
Yep.
You know, it's, I don't
Everyone
know.
Feel, maybe they think they've got more of a say these days or more of a right to speak up.
Mm.
That's the sort of world that we live in.
All right. Hey, Roo, in a moment, I want to talk to you about this AFL scandal. Now, Andrew Bolt, who we've crossed swords with previously, but today he's written a real thought-provoking article that I can't disagree with. I've read it a couple of times.
What's he saying?
He's making a couple of real, real good points. That basically, the two fellas involved are in trouble. We know that. And they've resigned. Now, we don't know whether they were pushed, but they've certainly resigned. They're out of the AFL. Simon Lethlean and Richard Simkiss, right? Andrew Bolt's asking the question this morning, what about the two women involved? We haven't heard anything about them.
Well, whether they've kept their job.
Have they kept their jobs? Are they in trouble? Have they done anything wrong? Certainly the two blokes, from what we're reading and hearing, yes, they've definitely done something wrong, if you are to believe the AFL. Yep. But what about the women involved? We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Roo and Dits on Triple M. 8:15, Roo and Dits for breakfast on Triple M on this Monday morning. Coming to you from Darwin all this week. Roo, last week, massive scandal broke whilst we were on holidays. This is about the AFL. We're talking to top executives in Simon Lethlean and Richard Simkiss. Now, they have resigned, and we have to believe that. That's what the AFL has said. People will question, were they pushed? Gillon McLachlan has come out very, very strongly talking about the morals of the AFL. Let's hear from him.
if we're starting to tip people out for doing that, then there'll be offices getting emptied all through the CBD because this is being on, going on as long as Adam's a boy. Why is it different for the AFL?
I'm not going to sit here and say that inter-office relationships are not appropriate.
No.
There are people in my building now who are going out with each other. There are beyond relationships, there are flings that happen. That happens in the workplace. What is important is the context and the facts. Both of the guys have owned the decision to resign because as they looked ahead, as they do the best they can to preserve their relationships and their marriages, and as they look ahead about their responsibility to the organisation executive members, they took the accountabilities.
But I still haven't got a clear answer as to the why.
You want to be in the public eye every day, being but they've taken up ownership to deal with the priority for them, which is their marriages. And I think you guys know that you live in the media, and that's decisions for them.
All right, there he is talking on Triple M on the weekend with Damien Barrett and James Brayshaw. Over the weekend, Caroline Wilson, who writes for The Age, was quite outspoken and said the AFL has proved again that it's still an old boys' club, that these men have acted inappropriately and it's a disgrace, etc., etc. Hanging and condemning the two men involved. However, today Andrew Bolt writes...
And no one's saying they've done the right thing, are we?
No. What they've done is immoral. They're married men, right? And in all of these situations, people get hurt, no doubt about it. We should point out Simon Lethlean's wife is due to give birth to their fourth child. Yeah, okay, so there are many, many moral issues at play here, no doubt about that. However, can we all take the moral high ground and play God in these situations? And these are the questions. People have come out, and I don't know what's right or wrong. We're just discussing this, Roo, and I'm really keen to hear from our listeners. Other people are saying, well, what about the two women involved? Have not heard one thing about them or
their jobs,
their responsibilities in this.
Have they kept their jobs?
We haven't heard, have we? But there's been a heck of a lot of publicity about the two men involved. Now, Andrew Bolt writes an article this morning that I find really, really interesting. He made some great points here. One of the ladies involved in the affair is an AFL legal counsel, Ali Grono. She's a lawyer and a former associate of Fair Work Australia, and as he points out, seems more than capable of looking after her rights, particularly in the workplace. And he's right. And yet, we're told that these two men are despicable and terrible. She would know, when she's making the decision to have this affair, what's right, what's wrong, or what she's allowed to do in the workplace.
Yep.
James Brayshaw, I thought, asked a very good, or he made a very, very good point. He said, well, we'll be sacking people in offices all over Australia, won't we, if this is wrong? The other lady involved here with Simon Lethlean has tweeted. Now, somehow the newspaper has got hold of the tweets, and she's saying, if he cheats and is unhappy and says he cares and always contacts me, it's his decision, it's my decision ultimately, you know, we're adults. So she goes on along those lines. Gillon McLachlan himself has pointed out that neither of these ladies ever lodged any complaint about mistreatment.
They hadn't been mistreated or anything. They'd just been in an affair or a fling.
Yep. So in this AFL case, we've got two capable women who chose to have affairs with married men at work. These are the words of Andrew Bolt. He goes on, and that's a fair point to make. That's what it's all about. These people chose to do this.
Yeah, it was two people making a decision, forcing it.
No, that's right. So Caroline Wilson accused these people of abusing their power, these two men, and using their power.
Now, can I jump in? I asked a couple of people sort of high up in football clubs, why are they getting sacked here? And the information I got back, or the reason I got given back dits, was they were abusing their position of power. And if people are in the same department as you in an organisation, whether it be the AFL or Commonwealth Bank or wherever, if you have a junior staffer, and when I say junior, I mean lower down the chain of command, it is deemed to be wrong to be able to use your power to have a relationship. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's the reason I got told. And the AFL has obviously made a decision that they want to have a certain type of culture in their organisation. It's obviously different to Channel 7 from what's happened there in the last 6 months.
That
or
was
whatever.
The Tim Warner case, executive,
Or as James Brayshaw says, there'll be offices everywhere in Collins Street, which is the business street of Melbourne. So the AFL, they try and lead
society in lots of ways, rightly or wrongly, about how they conduct themselves in the workplace or race or everything.
I can see where there'd be issues with respect in the office place, and I mean this seriously. Let's say there is one of the real chief executives in our office sleeping with a young secretary. It does change the dynamic forever, because once the whispers start, there'll be other girls in the office going, oh, that's that girl that's sleeping with the boss, or she's a slag, or she's this, she's that. It's difficult then to treat those people the same. You see my point
absolutely,
there?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because of the gossip and the innuendo, and you lose respect all of a sudden for the people around you.
Yep.
But look, it's a tough issue. Should we be hearing more about the two women? Is it just the two men that have done wrong here? And you think the AFL have got this right?
Should they have their jobs, the girls?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they have it or not. That's how actually ridiculous it is that we haven't even heard whether they've got their jobs or not, or whether, because we've heard everything about the blokes losing their jobs.
But the fact that one of them is a legal counsel and has dealings with Fair Work Australia, do you reckon she'd know what's right and wrong?
The other girl runs AusKick in Victoria, New South Wales.
Yeah.
She's obviously no dummy either, It's an interesting one.
What's your opinion on this? 133353. Do we need to take this moral high ground in the workplace, or is it just as long as you're good at your job, go for it? I don't know. What's right? What's wrong? 133353. Give us a call. 8:27 it is. We're talking about the big scandal that broke last week in the offices of the AFL, Roo.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about whether the women should have lost their jobs as well, or what do you think about the men losing their jobs?
Should you just be allowed to do this in the workplace?
Yep, let's go to Seaford Rise. G'day, Tom.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Very good, Tom. What do you think about this one?
Oh, bloke, I reckon they've gone overboard, you know. You've got two intelligent men, or so-called intelligent men, that have been sprung. You've got two intelligent women that are... You know, there's no, it's, you know, it takes two to tango, for God's sake. They should only have to answer their partners. I don't see why they should lose their jobs.
Yeah, all right, good on your time. I think a lot of people agree.
And the fact that they actually didn't put any complaints about mistreatment or anything like that, actually, that was the thing I was thought must have happened.
Yeah.
But let's go to Gawler. G'day, Greg.
Yeah, g'day, Roo. How are we?
Good, Greg. What do you think about this one?
Look, mate, I'm ex-Army, 25 years. I just think that from my experience, these people are in a position of leadership. And it's distracting. You know, they go to work to do their job. They provide leadership. They build rapport with their people, their customers. And all they're doing is creating distraction. So they've got to fall on their sword. Now, with regards to the other two, They're not exactly in leadership, so there's got to be a cost, mate.
Okay.
Can I ask you, in the armed forces, you're not allowed to fraternise at all, are you?
That's correct. Yeah, it's distracting. It takes you away from the your prime task, your job. You've got people, you know, you've got to look after, and it's serious. So, you know,
right.
I mean, we're talking about trust there, Dit.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
No, that's a good call, and I can understand it in the armed forces, no doubt about that. Let's go to Woodville. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
What do you think about this one?
Well, a question has to be asked. If the tables were reversed and the senior leadership individuals were two married women, would they be treated the same? Also, if the men were perhaps in the same-sex relationships rather than heterosexual relationships, would they be treated the same? What about if they were single, but there was still the abuse of power element there? I think what has happened here is it has not been the individuals concerned, it has not been the women concerned, it has been the moral outrage amongst those around them that has just reached a particular point that it couldn't be dealt with anymore, and it got leaked to the press, which gave Gillen enough reason to do what he's done.
Are you saying, Andrew, that if they were single... Are you saying they still would have got sacked?
No, I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
I'm asking the question in all cases, because if they're single, so their relationship status is, there's no moral outrage, but there's the aspect of, there's still the aspect of potential abuse of power if it's there. Like you can still, and I've seen this occur in a workplace where people have relationship breaks down, and the individual's relationship altogether, working and otherwise, tends to fall apart as well, and they can't work together anymore.
It'd be an interesting question to ask Gillen in the future. If they were single and this happened, would they have resigned?
Andrew just raised three or four very good scenarios there.
Is it about abuse of power,
Or is it about...
the moral issue.
The moral issue. Or is it a combination of both? That'd be an interesting question to ask down the track.
One thing that would come up too, Roo, in the workplace, there'd be people, and these are hypotheticals, people would accuse people in power of favouring that person. So let's say you are the boss and you have an affair with a younger female. Wouldn't other people within the workplace be accusing... Or there could be the accusations that, oh, he looks after her because they're sleeping together.
Yeah,
or she gets a better deal than we do.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
All sorts of scenarios come about, don't they?
Yep.
Good discussion.
Sure.
Yep, Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Mick Molloy joins Ruin Dits.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me. I'm Mickey.
On 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, we're coming to you from Darwin this morning. Let's go. This is like the old three-way turf talk. Let's go to Adelaide, to Melbourne. Mick Molloy, how you going?
Well, I should have hung about. I was up there on the weekend. I could have done live in the studio with you boys. Yes,
You're
for the
kidding.
Big clash out there at Darwin. Wasn't it a ripping game?
It was a ripping game, and it's a ripping town at this time of the year. Stuff the eastern states and the southern states with their 13 degrees and rain, 32 and sunny.
Get up there and go berserk. That is my idea. I was up there for the game, yeah, and it was absolutely brilliant. I was up there with Richo, who was wearing his man bag, and I think
this Matty may be Richardson.
The first, this may be the first time Darwin has ever seen a man bag, and let's just say it was drawing a fair bit of heat. I think guys up there were thinking like a little chihuahua was going to be in it or something, because he'd got his audience completely wrong up there, but it wasn't great. And I tell you what, we was behind the goals when that big barrel came through. I love a big barrel.
Jayden Hunt.
A torpedo. And that was, I said, short of a screamer, just short of a screamer comes the big barrel for absolute unbridled enjoyment at the football.
Let's get back to the man bag. What did Richo have in it?
Oh, mate, Jerry, it was a Louis Vuitton man bag.
Louis Vuitton.
Camel coloured. It was like soft leather. You could smell it. The only man bags ever seen up there have been owned by bookies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the only one. If he'd put his name on it and started paying out, he might have got away with it. But in the meantime, he was done.
And it's got to be made from crocodile skin or something up here, or kangaroo, or
you'd hope so.
Turtle. Well,
and what happened to you? What, you missed the plane, or you just decided to hang around? What are you doing?
Just getting a bit of sun on their backs.
It's called
recharging.
Detained at the airport.
Work-life balance. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, Mick.
Very good.
Hey, did you watch Wimbledon?
Oh, no, I can't watch it anymore. It's just it's a sooky lala. well done, Federer. 19 majors, and that's good for a cheat, I reckon. That's pretty.
What?
You know, he's a cheat. He's one of the biggest cheats in world sport. Always has been, always will be.
Well, because he's too good.
He admitted that he takes timeouts for tactics rather than when he's actually injured, and that's as good a cheating as far as I'm concerned.
What about his opponent?
Oh, Cilic, who got the blister.
Yeah.
He got the blister, which then needed treatment for 30 hours. I hate to see him with a bit of gangrene.
He's tough.
He is an absolute idiot, that guy. And then you've got the guys who can't even front, like Tomic. I mean, what is wrong with tennis? I don't care anymore. It's not squash, is it, Dits? It's not squash.
Not a tough man sport.
Cop
like
one of those things
play.
In the back of the legs and you'll know it.
That's the only way to win.
Yeah, well, that was an uplifting segment today, wasn't it? What are you guys doing up there? Has there been anything? I heard one of you guys went for a swim with a crocodile. Is that true?
Yeah, it was me. Yeah.
What do you do?
I just wrestled it and said, get out of here. I'm just going for a swim. We're going fishing today with Sir Michael Long. All right, we might have a story to tell you after that. Apparently, they jump out of the boat and spear the crocodiles, these blokes.
They'll be,
seriously.
I've seen that in action. There's only a few of us who can do that.
but we have
this affinity with the land that you guys will never understand.
Did I get stitched up again on the front bar the other night? I was receiving tweets from Sam Pang.
You got to drive by. I think your entry into the arena for MCG got another run.
We'll
have to get you over. You've got to come on. We want you to come on the show. Come on.
Fox will be happy with that.
Hey, no, we'll run it by him.
Just so you know, too, Mick, just in case you weren't aware, Adelaide's been playing it at 10:30 just to trial it in South Australia first, but they've brought it forward to 8:30 now, thank God.
They have.
This Thursday night.
Oh, you're going,
you're going prime time.
We're going prime time. I'll have to pop some pants on. Oh, this is fantastic.
You can make it in Adelaide, you'll make it anywhere.
Mate, I can't wait. Well done, Adelaide. Thanks for coming on board. You'll love it.
We're usually a month behind.
Yeah. Big load of Wang Wang and Foony.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Mick.
Guys, the pandas.
Yeah, we're with you.
Yeah, we're with you, mate.
There he is.
Don't have a lie down.
Mick Malloy. We'll chat later in the week.